Please open up your Bibles to Proverbs 26, I believe it is. Page 641, I just looked it up. For those of you who are not so acquainted, page 641. We're going to begin by reading the text, and so it'd be helpful if you get there. Proverbs 26, beginning at verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Now we're going to focus especially on verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. So if you think about a dessert or a candy or a food that you just cannot resist, what would it be? If you get just a bite, it's not like you can just put it back in the fridge, right? What do you think about? Well, it might be for me fudge, cinnamon rolls, a few things like that, ice cream. Well, verse 22 says that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts of your body. And another way to translate that is that we swallow greedily the words of a gossip. So what is gossip? Very quickly, it is dirt about someone else. So here it is, to mix up the metaphors a little bit. Everyone has seen a little toddler or just a little person, maybe just in the dirt. And what do they sometimes do? Or on the beach, they'll eat dirt, right? Crazy thing, and actually kind of like it, right? Or eat sand. Well, in a sense, we do the same. If you look at what Scripture is saying here, we eat and even greedily swallow dirt. Years ago, there was a billboard in Indiana with these simple words: "He who throws dirt loses ground." Well, another way to think about it is this, that we naturally throw and eat dirt, and it causes us to lose ground with those around us, and most importantly, with God. And if you think about it, when we do this, it's kind of like when you're looking at a toddler playing in the dirt and eating dirt, what a pathetic sight that is. Well, God looks at us in the same way. It's like, how could they be doing that? So what we're going to do is look at a number of passages and think about how we can kill our appetite for this dirt and how we can instead speak words that build others up and honor God. We're going to do that by answering four questions. First of all, what is it? Then why do we do it? And then what happens because of it? And then finally, how do we stop? So first of all, let's think about what is it. Again, look at verse 22. There is this reference to gossip, but another closely related word is slander. In God's law for his people recorded in Leviticus, it says this: do not go about spreading slander among your people. In other words, you don't go around telling stories about others, slandering or often involving lies or rumors, things you really don't know that much about. Another phrase that the Bible uses in the New Testament is evil speaking. How do we speak evil, or how do we gossip? And we often associate gossip with the spread of rumors or lies about others. And indeed, God commands in the Ninth Commandment that we are not to bear false witness. The Heidelberg Catechism says, God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone. And this is an explanation of the Ninth Commandment. We are not to twist one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join anyone condemning anyone without a hearing or a just cause. So throwing dirt involves spreading rumors, but you need to understand that throwing dirt also involves the malicious spread of the truth. So even if it's true, it doesn't mean you have a license to tell the story. Sometimes we think about it, we think that as long as we know that we're telling the truth, it's okay, because we're just making an observation. We're just naming it. Well, there's another thing that happens as well. Very often it involves secrecy. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Another word that's sometimes used is whisperer, or the word backbiting. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said he feared for the church in Corinth because it was sliding down into contentions, jealousies, backbitings, whisperings. It was becoming a part of the culture. And we've all heard someone, I grew up with this, if you can't find anything nice to say about someone, what? Don't say anything at all. Not bad. Take that home. And as well, this might include just making a simple snide remark about someone, or throwing in some sarcasm. And of course, today there are exponential number of opportunities to spread our negative words through social media. Maybe some of you saw yesterday in the news, there was a teacher in Wyoming who was suspended for 13 days without pay after she tweeted a sarcastic remark about one of her students. So there's a lot of ways to throw dirt. And one way to summarize it here is this. Throwing dirt or gossip or slander are words that are spoken about another person, false or true, behind their back, that are intended to drag them down or cause harm. Another way to think about it is loose lips with negative intentions. It's just, you know, taking a little shot, taking a jab. So, does anyone here do this? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying to me, right? I do it, right? We all have these little moments, or sometimes big moments, where we will just say a little remark. It happens in our workplaces. Some workplaces are really have a culture of this. It happens in the break room. It happens with family members at school. And sadly, it happens in the context of the church. Did you hear about, or can you believe what someone did? Or, I got to tell you. Now, that leads into a second question that we need to think about is, why do we do it? Why do we throw dirt? Why do we delight in swallowing down dirt from those who feed us? Well, again, if you look at the word, there are especially maybe three reasons that we do this. Number one, you and I have a wicked, deceitful heart. If you go back to our text, verse 23, it says you can put this fine, smooth, glazed coating on a pot, but it's still rough and ugly underneath. And verse 24, our hatred is nicely covered over with these nice words, but underneath our heart is full of deceit. Jeremiah says it as explicitly as possible, maybe throughout Scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, who can understand it? And Jesus said, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And so our tongues are betraying what's down underneath. In my heart, in this sinful flesh that I still live with, you will find every kind of sin and evil chomping at the bit to run wild. And so you might think of gossip as the loosening of the reins and a rearing up of the backbiting heart. Our sinful hearts love sin. Psalm 52, it says, you love every harmful word, O you deceitful tongue. Sometimes when I hear, and I have to, I hear about the downfall of someone else, it tastes good. Really. When I hear about another pastor whose church is struggling, I can catch myself with this sickly, shameful delighting in it. Now, a second reason for our participation in gossip that you find throughout Scripture, in a couple of places at least, is that you're busy with the wrong things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13 is one place where Paul talks about the busybodies. And the busybodies are also always tied to the gossips. And as well, it's the people who are idlers, he says. Those people who are hanging around with nothing to do. And with nothing to do or busy with the wrong things, your conversation can quickly deteriorate. See, every one of us is called to take up our post in the kingdom of God. We're called to make disciples. We're called to encourage each other, build each other up, pray for one another, and on and on. And what happens is when you lose your way and you lose sight of that mission in life, your tongue will tend to turn ugly. So last night, as I visited my friend John in jail, he was fairly upset because for 2 or 3 weeks he had this older gentleman in his cell who was a great cellmate. He prayed for John, and they talked about all kinds of things relating to Scripture, and he was just pleasant for John. And then on Friday, John was given this new cellmate, and he is an Aryan Nation follower, a Satan worshiper, and he walks around, and he paces the cell back and forth without a shirt, all of his evil tattoos showing, and he prays to Satan. And John talked about how difficult and scary this is, and he has 14 felonies, most of them violent. It's the first time he's ever been in a cell that's not maximum security. And John's wondering, what's he doing with me? Right? And then John began to tell me how he's been recalling the entire biblical story for this young man. And he's telling him who Satan really is. And then he says, with a bit of a smile, a little smirk, he says to me, he says, I'm working to convert him. And he's listening. See, you can be irritated and afraid of your neighbors and others in your life. But if you're working to draw them, if your focus is to draw them into a relationship with Jesus, you won't be tempted to talk in negative ways about them. See, if John can stay focused on the mission in his setting, you and I can do it wherever we find ourselves. Now, a third reason for our participation in gossip is pride. Very often in Scripture, speaking evil of others is connected to being proud. In Titus 3, verse 2, he says, "Speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." So pride leads us to elevate ourselves with an attitude of superiority. The demotion of others is the promotion of me. Or the downfall of others is a rising up for me. When I hear about or tell others about the problems of others, it makes me feel better about myself. It's a natural thing. So one way that this has been said is that I welcome news of the sins of others because it makes my sins appear more normal. Misery loves company. And so what happens is maybe we settle into this clique of friends who gossip about others, and as we do so, it makes you feel like you and your friends are the ones who kind of have it together. I asked someone once, "Why do you gossip?" And the honest answer was, "Because people irritate me." Well, people do irritate us, right? Right? But if you think about it, what's going on there? What is it? Well, it's pride, it's superiority, it's a good dose of self-righteousness very often. See, gossip is a sick attempt to promote our own righteousness at the expense of others. Ted Peters was trying to explain what happens in his book, Sin, Radical Evil, and Soul in Society, and he says this: pride can lead to the desire to possess what God possesses, namely goodness. We attempt to make ourselves righteous by identifying with what is good, even if it takes a lie or scapegoat to do so. Its most common form is gossip, with which we cut our superiors down to our size by charging them with having committed scandalous sins. So what happens indeed is that very often gossip is about trying to cut people down, especially maybe those who have authority over us, the boss, or the pastor, or the teacher. Now, I've used this illustration before, especially years ago, I know I did, but a number of you through the years have said how helpful it is, so here it is again. When I was growing up on our cattle farm in Iowa, we used to use the big wheel loader to scrape up the manure and pile it all high into the center of the yard in this big mound. And that would make for dry and better areas for the cattle. But I recall there was always, almost always, one cow who would work his way up to the top of the manure pile, and he'd look down his nose at the rest of the herd as if he was something. I'm telling you, it happened all the time, right? But here's how this picture helps. When we gossip, what's happening is that you are building yourself up by standing on the manure of others. Does that make sense? It's a crazy thing, in that the more we hurt ourselves, or the more we hurt others with our tongues, in order to promote ourselves, the more we demonstrate just how sick we are. We're willing to stand on manure to get there. Now, a third question we need to answer is this: what happens when we do it? What are the consequences? What's the fallout? Well, number one, it tears down others. Our text refers to hatred more than once. Where there is hatred, there is this destruction, this tearing down. It leads to a tarnished reputation for whoever we're gossiping about. And you might think that gossip works like a highly contagious and dangerous virus. It wounds, it kills, it reproduces. Verse 20 and 21 of Proverbs 26. It refers to gossip as being like wood for a fire. So where there's gossip, there is this fuel for destruction. Another consequence of gossip is that there is this tearing down of the greater community. When gossipers are actively working to pour fuel under the fire, they will be successful in stirring up division and trouble among the people. So Proverbs 16, verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. That kind of division was especially a concern for Paul, for the church. And what this means for us as well is that we as a church family must agree that we will always work to kill unkind words of criticism or slander against anyone. And if we are hurt, we will seek out the person who hurt us so that the relationship can be restored. It's part of the vows that we make when we become members of the church. We will seek the unity, the peace of the community. The teachings of Jesus and the Apostle Paul provide the background for this instruction. Their great desire was love, forgiveness, peace among the brothers and sisters. And when someone became angry or offended, special instructions were given for handling the matter. Jesus said it this way, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you." So, if you have a problem or criticism, you must go to that person first. So I need you to say this out loud with me, and you're going to put it in first person. If I have a problem or criticism, I must go to that person first. Say that with me. If I have a problem or criticism, I must go to that person first. In a marriage relationship, you commit to unconditionally loving each other, even in the worst of circumstances. And if your spouse is a jerk or hurts you or makes you angry, what do? Well, do you talk to them? Hopefully you do. You seek reconciliation, or maybe you sit around and pout for a few hours or maybe for a few days. But what if they do it again? You know, do you just wander away, divorce yourself, and then just look for a new family, look for a new spouse? Or maybe, you know, you think, well, who needs a spouse? It's a rather extreme, right? Well, this is, in a sense, what happens, though, in the church sometimes. We make vows, we commit to be a part of this family, we live in community, and we vow that God's word will be the infallible rule for our lives, and yet when someone disappoints us or ignores us or hurts us, we say, I'm out of here. We wander. Gossip is anger, disappointment, or discouragement handled wrongly. Again, when you have a problem or criticism, you go to that person first. And instead, what happens is we often go on a hunt to find others who will affirm us in our negative feelings. And then the pot boils a little bit more because we get alienated from the source of spiritual life and guidance and encouragement that we need that leads us to love, to forgive, to be reconciled. Another way to say it is this. Our slide down into the sewer of spiritual stagnation and independence is often greased by gossip and slander. Now, the last question. How do you stop it? How do you stop it? Well, number one, you got to believe the gospel is true. Now, what does the gospel say about those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Well, see, and this gets back to the psalm I read at the beginning of the service. He's the one that raises us from the dust, right? See, the gospel humbles us into the dirt, and it holds us up higher than we could ever go on our own. So another way to say that is this. You are a scandalous sinner, more evil and sinful than you can imagine. Do you believe that? The Word says it right down into the core of who we are. You and I don't understand how ugly and evil we are. Right? At the same time, what the gospel says is you are also a son or daughter more loved and accepted than you ever dreamed possible. Do you believe that? So you are perfectly righteous as if you've never sinned because you wear the righteousness of Christ like a coat. And when I gossip, rather than admitting that I am scandalous, I charge others with being scandalous. And rather than accepting that I am righteous in Christ, I assert my own righteousness by throwing dirt on others. And so we have to believe the gospel every day and soak it in, so we don't have to make it up for ourselves. There's a story about a nun who confessed to her bishop that Christ had revealed himself to her in person. And the bishop was surprised, but he knew this nun and the deep walk that she had with the Lord. So he said to her, "Look, the next time he reveals himself to you in person, ask him about the sins of the archbishop. Because I'd like to know some of the bad things that he's been doing." Because he was her confessor, the nun said that she would act in obedience and do exactly that. And a number of weeks later, she came back. The bishop said, "Well, did he reveal himself to you?" And she said, "Yes." And the bishop said, "Well, what did he say?" And the nun said that Jesus said, "I don't remember." And see, think about this. If Christ doesn't remember your sins, how can you insist on remembering and recounting the sins of others? Doesn't make any sense, does it? You see, Jesus was cursed and beaten down with slander and accusation, so that you can rise up to a new life of blessing others. That's what you were reborn for. Do you believe that? And so what you have to think about is, who am I? What's my character? What's my inclination? You know, think about this. Are you free and full of joy in your salvation? Or do you still have somehow this nagging misery that you insist on sharing with others? See, our Father, our Heavenly Father, delights in repentance that takes you to the foot of the cross. Now, finally, I want to leave us with just four quick practical instructions for killing gossip. Number one, we need to think about the tongue exercise. For 1 week, I want you to focus on do not gossip, complain, or criticize. And maybe you need to have a friend hold you accountable to that and ask them, "How am I doing?" Or ask them to call you out when you do it. And if you think about it, the more difficult it is, the more you will see your need for repentance, the more you see your need for Jesus every day to keep your tongue from evil. Maybe it's when you gather for a meal at the end of the day. And St. Augustine encouraged conversation at meals, but there was a strictly enforced rule that the character of an absent person would never be negatively discussed. And he had a warning to that effect on the wall in his home. So Parents need to be sensitive to hold their kids accountable to that. And kids maybe need to hold their parents accountable to that. And they have to say, hey, Dad, we just heard in church that you're not supposed to say negative things. Another way to kill gossip is to separate yourself. Refuse to listen. Shut it down. Proverbs says, avoid a man who talks too much. There's some people who are just, you just need to stay away from them. And then you find in Scripture as well that we are to rebuke in love. Friends don't let friends gossip. Psalm 50, it says, you speak continually against your brother, but I will rebuke you. And finally, we've used this in years past, and people have asked for this back again, and this is a great way for us to think about what should guide our words. An acronym that becomes a formula for what we should say. What can I say? Well, number one, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? If it's not those things, shut up. Let's believe the gospel. And let's think before we eat and throw dirt. Amen? Let's pray together.